The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to It Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Toro speaking.
Whatever.
With me in the studio, I have a son, Godwin, in his chipper self, enjoying his frothy beverage and meal, as you can see on the live web camera.
Whatever.
And I also have Charlie.
Stop looking at me.
Sitting with us in the studio.
How's everybody doing?
So, I guess we can say that Herman is not no longer on the show. Well, we can just
Herman will be a guest star on the show every once in a while.
Yes, Shemp will
like Saturday Night.
Yes, special guest host.
Yep.
So I guess we should always talk about it that way when people call and ask us, who is this Herman? It'll actually be interesting.
I still say we should have a cardboard picture of him now to put a spring on the arm and just have it waving like that.
And we can have, like, words, you know, yeah. This sucks on his head.
It's a remake.
See what I'm saying? All that stuff wouldn't be necessary if there wasn't a stupid camera in here.
that's true.
There should be no camera. This is radio, not television.
I blame Imus.
Okay.
That's how I feel about text messaging. It's a phone.
Exactly.
Call up.
It's a phone delusions of grandeur.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us online, you can.
Too bad.
Actually, you can go on. If they're having trouble listening to us on air, yes. Too bad if you're having trouble listening to us online, as you are correct. But if you're having trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.an12playwgbb.com. Listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, as I mentioned, we have the in-studio camera in high definition. High definition?
Definition?
Wow. I'm off.
He said definition.
I'm off today. I'm really off today.
I wish I was off today. I went to work.
And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. I guess I'll just take it away with these.
Take it away with the news.
Special news today. We don't have much of news.
Why is the news special today?
Because we had just came from the New York Comic Con this past week.
Oh.
And this episode is all about all the stuff that we've had, our experiences at the con, and on our Facebook page we've posted a lot of pictures and we've gotten responses.
Oh,
and we've
yeah.
told, you know, the listeners to call in and share their stories. So it's special news because it's very tiny news and it's a lot of us talking about what happened at the
Please
con.
Please tell us about your geeky experiences.
It was a big deal.
I went to a convention and I had bought comic books and a lot of girls were dressed in bikinis.
Thank God. They keep us going. I saw this great shirt. It said, "Get your geek on."
Yeah, that's like your average reaction. Yeah. I went
to see Flash Gordon.
There's
and
a
there
lot
were
of guys.
Girls there, and they were naked.
And there were some naked dudes there, too.
I didn't see any.
That's why
you don't look around.
You just look straight
Yes,
up.
Yes, you have tunnel vision.
All right. So let's see. I'll take it with the news. A judge has just ruled that it is not illegal to make a copy of a disc or DVD and stream it if you actually own the disc, which goes against which goes against the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It seems that UCLA got sued over a streaming DVD to its students, so it has been deemed not illegal. So it's not illegal to.
I'm so allergic to that story.
So it's not illegal to make a copy of a DVD that you own.
And the extinction of musicians is going apace.
Well, it says a disc, so I don't know if it's
well,
just
you
DVD
know,
or
if you make a disc, like so let's say you made a CD, right? And then you sold it. One guy bought a copy.
Right.
One guy.
Yeah.
Then he streamed it, and everybody else out there who was listening to it made a copy of it. You got one album sale, but everybody else has your music.
Yeah.
So he just destroyed music right there. He crushed the music industry.
Wow, that simple? So let's get on that right now. We're going to take down Epic Records by tomorrow.
What's wrong with Epic Records?
I don't know.
Okay.
That was the first one I could pop in my head.
Just checking. I don't even think Epic Records is still around.
That's the only one I could
think
of.
So you've done well.
Wow, it happened that fast. I handled it that quickly. The power of the internet. Thank you, internet.
Well done.
Thank you, internet. moving along, it has been announced that Disney...
Who announced it?
Some people.
Some people?
Some people.
Some people.
Good research.
Who now are us. It's the no follow-up question. News portion of the show.
Well, you said it was announced.
I just announced it.
I have been told that I should never kill old ladies. You know, who told you that?
Some people.
I don't know, some guy.
it has been announced that Disney is close to a deal to revive The Lone Ranger, starring Johnny Depp as Tonto, in the lead, and Armie Hammerman. Hammerman?
Armie.
Yeah, Armie Hammerman in the lead role. If you recall, they halted production.
Not to be confused with Armie Hammer, bacon soda.
What? If you remember.
If I had said that smoothly, it would have been funny.
I was thinking that. That would have been a killer.
If you remember, we had announced previously that the production had stopped because of financial and budgetary reasons, and you actually, Hassan, said that it was a stupid idea because the people involved in this movie are the same people that are involved in a Pirates franchise, so it's bound to make a big bag of money, and they should fix it.
Did I?
You did. And they actually listened to you. Disney's been listening to our show.
They didn't listen to me.
And
someone else who thinks like me said
some
that,
people?
And they listened to him.
Some people.
They
some
didn't
people.
Listen to me. Yeah, whoever they were, they didn't listen to me, because they never listened to me. That's A. B, I actually have changed my mind now. I think the whole idea is stupid. Because why do we need a Lone Ranger movie?
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
Why?
That's all I got is why
I
not.
I know. All I got is why. And your why not is not gonna answer my why.
Do you have an answer to his question there, Kyle?
The search for more money.
Very, very well.
Then I hope it fails.
And now for the shameless portion of the news.
Oh, wait. This wasn't the shameless portion of the news?
No, the shameless portion is for those people out there who like independent comics, there is no greater independent comic than our guest who was last
shameless.
Week. Our guest last week, Dave Ryan, he came up with this great idea to make his comic book.
Which was that?
It was called War of the Independents. And it has such characters as Ant, the Max, Bone, Savage Dragon, Gumby, and Pokey.
Hey!
And, of course, my character will have a tiny, tiny, tiny role.
Sweeping up.
And yes, sweeping up in the background.
Sweeping up the Independent Justice League.
Yes, in the comic.
And what is your character's name?
Sunburst.
Okay.
And she will be, she's actually in the first book. She's actually there in the first book. And then, you know, she does stuff in issue 4. And Dave Ryan was cool.
We actually saw the comic book. And
yeah, and I pointed her. I was like,
there she is. But we saw the comic book and it looked pretty good.
Yeah. Dave was gracious enough to promote it. Yeah. Actually, he didn't really promote it last week. He
told everybody into comic books to go and get a government job.
Well,
but
the
sentiment is understood.
Yes, well, the book is out right now in comic book stores everywhere, and then the following issues will be 6 issues, and I think he said bi-monthly, so my issue will be out in 4 months, 8 months.
Congratulations,
Mark.
Yay!
And, of course, along the same shameless plugging, RGZ Comics, RZG, sorry, Mariano, RZG Comics is also promoting a crossover that has to do with the War of the Independents.
It's
sneezing and really? Okay.
It's the jam.
They're also promoting on www.redzonegirls.com, promoting such books as Vampires vs. Nazis, a film noir comic set in World War II, and their flagship character, Phaser, will be crossing over with my girl, Sunburst, in March. I'm going to be promoting the hell out of this, and we're going to be having people coming over, and it's going to be awesome, but Mariana will be
here,
I guess.
I'll be busy that day.
So if you guys are interested in independent comics,
shameless,
check out War of the Independents, or you can go to you should go to www.redzonegirls.com.
Well done, Mark.
Right, thank you. And no sad news this week. So
what? Someone died. You just don't know about it.
Yes, I'm sure.
Someone kicked
Someone died between last week and this week, and we don't know about it. So our condolences to all you people out there that we don't know who died yet.
There's 7 billion people on this planet. Someone kicked the bucket hard last week.
And we feel bad for them.
Not until we know who they are.
Don't know. But I have some annexing news.
Oh.
Which you would love.
Charlie Saldino.
Okay. Shia LaBeouf.
Shia!
Yeah.
My arch enemy.
Lately, he's been thinking that he's quite the ruffian. He's quite the fighter. He's been picking fights in bars. And, he's been mouthing off to people like this article I saw in the news, which was hysterical, and I said, you would love it, because he did this. He was on the location of his latest film, and they went to a bar, and there was a confrontation, and the gentleman said, would you want to step outside? And he says, yes, where he proceeded to get the caca beat out of him. And that was it. He got whipped.
And it was on camera.
I wish it was, but that's it.
I saw like a clip of it or something like that on the
really?
News. Yeah, so him getting his boot heel.
So where was the Phoenix Jones when you need him?
Right.
To come in to rescue poor Shia LaBeouf from getting beat
Where's
up.
Bumblebee?
Yeah.
Bumblebee was at the convention.
Actually,
Bumblebee should have been helping
Bumblebee
Shia.
Was at the convention.
You mean Bumblebee?
Yeah, he was like. Not tonight, I'm a star.
that was almost as good news as when I heard the Blockbuster was going under.
And just an annex to that,
Mr. Annex?
Which I thought was crazy because it was from the Weird But True section of the Post. You know how I love to read that.
Yes.
There in Dallas, they have an all-points bulletin out for a gentleman who beat a lady with a frozen armadillo. I just thought that was worth mentioning. In Dallas, where the main choice of weapon is the gun, somebody beat a lady senseless with a frozen armadillo. And that's all I have to say.
I wonder if he couldn't use a regular armadillo. He had to get a frozen one. That's the thought.
Well, I think he was...
The frozen one would hurt more.
I think he was trying to sell it to her as produce.
Buy it.
And they got into an argument about the price, and since he had it in his hand...
Armadillo, like the animal. Armadillo.
Yeah, it was saying something like he was selling them like it was a food. And the lady... I don't know. But the lady started arguing with the gentleman over the price. And since, like I said, he had it in his hand.
He swatted her with the armadillo
and then
took
off. Well,
you know, if it wasn't frozen, if it was alive, it would have bit him. So it's right. Probably safer to beat people with a frozen one.
Yeah.
Because the beater.
Only the people you beat with it will get hurt.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
And the armadillo will not bite you.
And this lady was, like, exceptional, because most people would probably not tell anyone they got beat with a frozen armadillo.
Really? And you know, she probably didn't even see it coming, like, here, buy this. Now hitting
exactly.
You.
You know? But what she was supposed to do was go home in shame, but she actually went to the cops. So, like I said, she was exceptional.
Well, I can honestly tell you, if I got beaten with a frozen armadillo, I would say something.
If I went to 7-Eleven and I went and haggled over the price of some, like, Wiener Schnitzel or whatever they got in those little rotisseries. The guy beat me with a frozen armadillo, I would just leave. I wouldn't tell anybody.
Mind you, I wouldn't say it was a frozen armadillo. I would have said, the guy beat me with something frozen.
But it would come out.
I don't know what it was.
Because the imprint of the armadillo would be on
your
face.
Well, not only that, but the cop is this the object, sir? I guess. This is a frozen armadillo, you know.
Sure
you don't want to change your story, sir? Because this is... This is pretty embarrassing. No. I'm embarrassed for you.
Yeah, all right, I'll change it. Yeah. It was a frozen possum.
It was a lightsaber.
It was a frozen lightsaber. All righty, so we're ready for our break. Trevor, we're good to
I'm
go?
I'm not ready for the break.
What, our break? All right, we'll be right back with the Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with the King from the Reals. Your host, Mark Torres, speaking, along with Hassan Godwin and Troy Saladino. That awesome music was from the Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice, from Season 2, the soundtrack, done by Keith Jacks for Third Rail Productions at www.t-r-p.net. And you can buy this music if you like it, and also the second season of Vixens.
You can buy it if you don't like it.
Yes.
You can just buy it. It's available.
It's available on Amazon right now, so you can go out there. And thank you very much, Rob Longo, for letting us use this. And Keith, I appreciate that.
Well, friend of show.
Yes. And along the same lines, that is what we're going to be talking about this week, the New York Comic Con. So while we have our stories, we're inviting all you listeners out there who are listening live, hopefully, not the ones that are on tape, because then you can't call in, to share your stories. it's possible. Some people are like, I'm going to call, and they can't.
We're going to have the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a lot of callers from who met us out there from Comic-Con calling in, so I'm looking forward to that. I'd like to personally thank New Gem Productions.
Yes, New Gem.
New Gem, and all the people we saw, all the nice people, especially Rob Longo. At the Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice booth, and a good friend of the show's, and he will be here shortly.
Not today.
As a guest, not today, but shortly. And, of course, Marissa Jade, who, again, is one of the friends of the show.
I want to thank Lance Fenceman, the head of New York Comic Con, because he's always nice to us. So I want to give a special thanks to him for getting us some press passes and free tickets, always. And I thought, personally, I thought the convention was much better this year than it was previous years. However, I didn't have much time to walk around on the regular days, because I wound up with that interview that we're going to be mentioning later, the big reveal.
The big interview. Yes. Thanks to New Gen.
Yes, and actually, I have to say, it was all on you, Charlie. Thank you for working that out, because without you, it wouldn't have happened.
Well, thank you. It's, you know.
So, what about you, Hassan? Who do you have to thank? What did you do or not do at the convention? What did you think of it? Being a convention goer, working both behind the scenes, behind the table, and being a fan yourself. Yeah. That's what you got?
It's a show. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a mark of the decline of the industry, of the comic book industry that spawned it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All right. And why do you say that?
Well, everything is kind of being done for the wrong reasons, and no one is. There's very little. I know this doesn't sound correct, but there's very little intimacy. And without intimacy, no one really is going to be able to kind of get their. It's not like a place you can go and get your project off the ground. You know, if you spend a couple of $1,000s, get a small press booth, and you have all your stuff on display, and you have a grandiose banner in the background, maybe a flat screen television that shows cartoons and stuff like that.
Right.
You're not going to sell anything because nobody cares, and it's just way too big for its britches right now. It's
really?
Just this really monster. It's not as big as San Diego, but it's this monster. You know, roving machine, you know, a soulless collection of no, look, for the people who go to the show, the cosplayers and whatever, who go to enjoy themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. The people who go to sell their stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem I have with it is that it is just so, it is so attempting to be something much bigger than what it is in its attempt to be like San Diego. Its attempt to kind of be a showcase for brand new things that are happening or things that have just happened. And to me, it's just kind of missing the point. It's so big, it misses the point.
Well, that's actually been a complaint about, you know, the San Diego for many years and the big conventions, that it's no longer about comics.
It's not even about comics. It's no longer really. It's about commerce. It's about a grand display. It's about pretense, but it's not really about any substance. There's nothing there that was substantial. You know, I mean, what did you go there and you didn't know that you walked out and didn't know, other than how to navigate through a heavy crowd
a
full of BO and bikinis?
What did I learn? I learned, actually, I have to say, I learned a little bit more about the game, the quote-unquote game.
In what way do you mean game?
We had a very productive day Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday
we actually took aisle one and did a whole strategic up and down walkthrough and met with a lot of people and just networked and found out interesting stuff and it was very exciting. As Comic-Con to me always is exciting. Of course the people are amazing and they go out of their way. I'm just laughing because in the midst, I should say, of all this huge, monumental crowd, there was a guy who came as a cup and straw, and he was navigating his way through the crowd, and as I passed him, I said, "This has to be pure hell for you." He says, "Oh, you can't even imagine."
Well, it couldn't have been any worse than the guy who was dressed up as Bane. That's the character who actually beat Batman in the 90s. He broke his back, made him paralyzed.
Right.
Yeah, and so he was walking around. The new Batman movie that's coming out.
Yes, and he was walking around with a stuffed Batman beat-up doll behind him.
Dragging him behind him.
Oh, man, it's creative, but I wouldn't have done that because that's just bad for crowds. It's bad enough as it is, and now you're creating more stuff to people step on, basically.
I just find it amazing, the presentations and the creativity of the fans and just again the excitement of it.
I think which the fans were awesome.
Yeah, the fans were great, and they always not one person. You know, had a negative thing to say when I asked them, "Hey, could I, you know, take a shot of you?" And they were all into it, like you wouldn't believe. Which I guess is the point why they get dressed up.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. The intention grabbers.
And once again, on our Facebook page, it came from the radio. You'll see a couple of amazing people dressed up. And if you guys see yourself, definitely write us. We want to know who you are. Yes. Some people have...
Who are you, person in
yes,
a
who
Superman
are you?
Costume?
Some fans written us already, so we're going to get in touch with them and have them
you
call
You mean
in.
The dog?
The dog, yeah. That was the first actual animal I've ever taken a picture of at a Comic-Con.
That was funny.
Okay, so you guys went to a convention, and you were press, so you didn't pay, but basically, ostensibly, it's like $100 to get in.
Right.
And the most that the free press that got in and were there for more than one day has anything to say about it is the costumes of the people wearing and a little networking.
Well, no, not really. We have interviews that we did, and we are having people come on the show from that.
Yeah, we got a lot of guests. Well, he said networking, so yeah, we did a lot of networking.
Yeah.
But like I was saying before, a little bit about the quote-unquote game of how to, you know, network and how to interact with people and how to interact with the, I guess, the next tier of people. Because we're a little radio show. We're not like ABC or anything like that. Mm. But if we worked it correctly, we could get just as, you know, good stuff as those big guys. We can get in there, and we can get cool interviews. We can meet really big
stars. You
could
do that at a smaller show, depending on who's there. So... the Comic-Con in general, what did you get being at the Comic-Con? Like, what did you go there and you didn't know that the $100 later that you walked out and you didn't know? What has been improved? What has been enhanced in your experience?
Well, when I meet creators and I see what new stuff they're working on, that's always good to know. I learned, the only thing I actually learned was the new gen guys. I actually learned about their project. And as a side note, I learned that you, Hassan, know Jeff Gomez, which I didn't know before.
I've told you like a billion times.
Well,
but
I learned that day. And for those of you who don't know, Jeff Gomez has created a company called Starlight Runner.
And he's also one of the co-publishers or co-producers of the new Valiant Comics that's coming in 2012.
And then he also has done series Bibles, which is basically the overall story of a hit movie such as Tron.
And Transformers.
And Avatar. So, you know, that was a pretty, that impressed me. I learned that because I was sitting at the panel, and I was like, oh, you know, there's these guys, and then there's, of course, you know, Mark freaking Hamill, who just 2 weeks ago I said I had no chance of getting anywhere near him. He was sitting on his panel with Jeff Gomez, and they were talking about their project, and then not more than 20 minutes later, you are talking with one of those guys, Jeff Gomez, on the phone. I'm like, he knows this guy. Like, wow.
I know.
So I learned
this
that.
Is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the point where we realize that Mark doesn't listen to Hassan when Hassan speaks, which is why I'm always in the background making fun of everything, because every time I say something that's meaningful, nobody pays attention to it. So that's why I go, yeah, whatever.
So that's why I said.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
I learned that. I learned about that project. So I guess the only thing I can take away from going to a convention, besides, you know, the enjoying it as a fan and learning about what people's projects are, is it's
you know, yeah,
that's what I learned.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think what has happened to me personally, and I don't think anybody here should care or should give a darn, but I was asked, which is why I'm telling.
Yes.
Is that it has basically kind of lost its soul. And I used to adore the medium of comic books in general, and to see it, and there's really no avoiding it. It's inevitable because comic books is really too small to survive in the world, in the multimedia world that everybody wants to push themselves in, because that's where the money is and that's where the big industry is. And a lot of people decide they're going to use comic books as a stepping stone, mostly because of like 30 Days of Night, some other, you know, of course, you know, the big Marvel comic book movies are a given, but those are huge company movies, so they can make those deals. So everybody wants to be the independent guy who has someone come along and make their comic book, like The Road to Perdition and a couple of other, you know, independents that went on to skyrocket. You know, you get Tom Hanks in a movie of the comic book that you did, and you're pretty much on Easy Street comic book wise.
Right.
You know, maybe not in real life, but comic. And this is basically what the presentation is. These things are supposed to be like little cinematic movies, and they got these movie posters for comic books, and they got these kind of booths that are set up to be like, you know, like a visit, like a walk down the red carpet of a man's Chinese theater and whatever. And it's just, and some of the art is fantastic. I mean, some of these guys have gone out and they've hired like top-notch talent to do these things, but they're just empty, like one display after another of really gorgeous generic characters. And the mentality behind it is, we need this to look comic book-y so that it will attract the comic book people, so that it will attract the people who make comic books into movies to see to feel that our work has been legitimized because it looks like comic book stuff. But if you're copying everybody else just to make your stuff look like a comic book so that you can get a comic book movie, then your stuff's going to look like everything else. And, you know, like going through the Artist Alley or whatever, it's like, well, actually more small press. Going through small press and one booth after another, everything kind of looked the same, and nothing to me jumped out and nothing looked interesting. And I'm doing exactly what I hate that everybody does. It's like, oh, I really think it was great, but, you know, it just didn't meet my standards. I'm just explaining that nothing reached out to me.
Right.
I don't think that comic book conventions need to be stopped, and I don't think you guys are fools for having gone and enjoyed yourself and taken pictures of people. And I don't think the people who dress up and still know how to have fun, unlike myself, are fools or idiots or anything like that. I think it's a fantastic show. Everybody behaved themselves. There were any terrible incidents of violence or whatever.
And we could have died with those crowds in there.
I wouldn't have. I would have killed a whole bunch of people. I'd be in jail, but I wouldn't have died.
At one point, me and Troy were walking through the thing, and I turned to him and I said, man, if it was a fire hit, we just died. There's no way we're getting out of here.
Take people with you. That's what I said.
My immediate line to Mark was, that's it, Mark, just think happy thoughts.
Exactly. It's like, oh, we're dead. If this all went pear-shaped, we'd be dead. But And then, walking up and down Artist Alley. Now, I'm not going to name any names, but I know a bunch of the creators there because I've been in and out of the industry for about the last 20 years, and so I know a bunch of the guys, and every one of them had like the same kind of vacant look on their faces because they kind of feel the same way. These are not guys that are hawking any books, any new book. This is not small press. This is Artist Alley, where the artists go and they sit down, and if you like them, you go up and you give them, you throw a couple bucks at them, they do a sketch for you, you feel good about yourself, he feels good about himself, and that's right. How the relationship right. worked. A lot of them, and some of them looked busy, some of the bigger names looked busy, so things were working for them, but they just looked, you know, like they were burned, you know, like they were, like, you know, it's a scene with the Sex Pistols, you know, where the guy's like, do you ever think you've been, you know, ever feel like you've been cheated, you know, because they just kind of have this, nobody's buying comic books anymore, you know, nobody's into this, no one's really into this stuff anymore, everybody's here for something bigger, everybody wants some kind of religious experience, and I think that's the main problem with comic books in general, with the conventions in general. It boosts it up to such a level with all this electronic gadgetry and these huge banners and sweeping vistas and, you know, whatever, of thousands of thousands of people. And then when you get to the core of it, it's still only comic books. There's no religious experience. There's no exaltation of the spirit, you know?
Just Spider-Man.
It's just that. And it's just getting way too big for what the market in and of itself is. And when they get, you know, like, people have this kind of attitude of expectation when they come to you for whatever you have to offer them. And when you don't meet that expectation, even if there's nothing wrong with what you have to sell, you get shunned, you know, and you get treated like dirt. And I think it's like microcosmic of the country in certain forms. It's so rich, it's so established, it's so hip, it's so trend ready that it can't really go any higher than it already is. It can only expand, it can only get bigger and start to consume everything around it. And then everything it kind of consumes, it kind of lessens. It doesn't boost it to a higher level. It just kind of fuels itself on it, and then leaves it, you know, leaves it out to dry after it's over.
Right. All right.
I'm coming at it strictly from that perspective, where I did for the most part enjoy myself. I hung out with you. I met someone. He's super special, which you know what, I know him. I know him. Convention over here, but that was a special moment for me. And I saw some friends that I haven't seen in a while, and I did enjoy myself. And I had a lovely house guest at the time, and I just watched her work all weekend. It was amazing. She knows how to network. She knows the game. So it was a great experience. But if you ask me. Excuse me, no one saw that. If you ask me what I think about it, or what I think about the convention, or conventions in general, not necessarily Reed, not necessarily New York Comic Con, but that's how I feel.
I haven't reached that point yet, because I was excited when I was signing my little cards,
seeing
my stuff.
and just the idea of the fans just welcoming the idea, oh my god, yeah, we're gonna look at this like we were giving out our cards, and I must say, so far, and I didn't check tonight, but we got a lot of good responses for the Facebook page, and
I guess it all depends on what you want, though.
Well, I was.
Well, you guys were getting what you wanted. You guys were getting into the experience. You guys had the experience.
Right, and it was, you know, it was getting to the point where we were not only guests of Comic-Con, but we were getting to the point where we were part of Comic-Con, you know? And that's the exciting thing. And you have reached the plummet of interviews, my friends.
Well, before we get to that interview, I want to mention, you have a picture on the table on the live webcam they can actually see. This is your girl. And what did you manage to do on Sunday? As he's holding up the picture of, and who is that?
Rose McGowan.
So you got to meet Rose McGowan.
Yeah, I also got to meet Jason Momoa, which is, you know, they were both next to each other, being from the Conan things, the Conan movie. And I must say, I was very impressed this year on how they ran the autograph situation.
It was less of a chaos.
Mainly because you were able to get one.
No, mainly because they weren't there all the time. So
right.
There was a lull and there weren't crowds. So they also
had it in a separate area.
They
though.
Had it in the North Pavilion, which looks like an annex they made especially for this area. And in that area, they also had other little ditties that were great. Like they had the Batmobile, the Back to the Future car, another Batmobile in the back.
Right.
They had a whole section for the kids, which was great. And they had a wall with just Comic-Con on it where people were taking pictures. Guests that were coming in that were dressed up took it against that wall, and it was very special. I got to have a great picture. If you look at our Facebook page with Darth Vader and Chewbacca,
yes,
where he was whacking me in the head with his paw. But the autograph area, which I've never went for an autograph before, but I had to because I thought Rose McGowan deserved an award for what she did on Conan with being the witch. And Jason Momoa, I have to tell you, he is one of the most personable, down-to-earth, nicest gentlemen I've ever met.
He has to be, because he's like so huge that he'd be arrested if he wasn't like a friendly
But
person.
he was just like talking to the crowd. People came up, and they were actually, you know, he was actually very impressive talking to the crowd. I got up there, we talked about a couple of scenes in Conan, and it was just like, he was genuinely like talking to you, not because he had to,
right,
but because he wanted to. And every girl who was coming up saying, oh my God, after you saw this, could I have a shog? Come on, you know. And then a guy came up dressed as Conan, and they were matching like signs. Like, he says, yeah, do you have the one? And he took time with it. But a real, real nice guy. And, you know, I'm not strange or anything, but God, so damn good looking. Yeah, really. But
wow.
As far as the autographs go, it was 100% better than last year.
I think that that's the way it was set up. Although, having it like halfway across the world in the Javits Center wasn't a good idea, but in its own little area,
I think
it worked better.
I think that added to the light crowds.
Yeah.
Because if you remember last year, had it in the main hall.
Yeah.
And they had other things in the main hall, so you couldn't get through.
Yeah.
And even though they had the things up
the
bank. Yeah, the rope.
Nobody
I mean,
the rope.
It was like you couldn't get through. So by removing it into another area, not, you know,
yes,
next to this massive room with Comic-Con was great. I thought it added to the crowd control of it. It was good being in security. I think it was a good move to have that.
Yes, it did help, but it didn't help the crowds on the main floor, because man, it was just so
large. My God. Yeah.
You could actually body surf over the amount of crowds that were there just to get anywhere.
And it's like, thank God, and thank you so much, Comic-Con people, for our press passes. But Thursday, while it was still crowded, we had a chance to move through that.
Managed to move through, and we were giving away free beer. There's a booth.
That was the funniest thing. That was the funniest thing. That somebody yells free beer, and I said, are you kidding me? He said, like, do you want free beer? I said, is this a trick question? You know, but I didn't have any because
we were working.
We were working.
You guys were on duty.
Yeah.
I guess now's the perfect time, because we have about 15 minutes left, so we can tell our big story, a big announcement that we're going to have.
Yes, go, Mom.
Thanks to the guys at New Gen Comics.
New Gen,
and,
which were fabulous. Rhea at New Gen, thank you.
Yes, the press lady, Maria.
Right.
But especially thanks to Charlie Saladino, our very own Charlie Saladino right here. First of thanks to him.
God.
We managed to get an interview with Mark freaking Hamill. Luke Skywalker himself, we managed to get an interview. It was the weirdest thing, because we were just walking along, taking pictures of stuff, and there was this gazelle, anthropomorphic, what's the word, anthropomorphic?
Antelope?
Looks like a humanoid person.
No.
Nothing, Hassan.
Animatronic?
anthropomorphic. That is a never mind. Anyway,
she's the very, very tall girl in my.
I didn't see it. Whatever it was,
I showed you on. She was walking along, taking pictures, and she was like, "Who wants free comics? Follow me." And we're like, "We like free comics, so let's go over there." And while we were walking over to the panel, to the booth. Charlie's like, hey, you know, this stuff looks interesting. Maybe we can get him, you know, on the show. And I'm like, yeah, that seems like a good idea. And while we're talking back and forth about
this. Right, I actually talked to Maria, who is the press agent for the, and I said, we would love to have you people on the show. And with that, she said, would you like an interview with Mark Hamill? And I said, yes, we would.
No, we would.
And, yes, we would.
We have no interest
in
it.
And then she said, we have a panel. Where would you like to be? I said, up front. And she says, perfect. She says, I'll send you an email. Then Mark was with me. We had the cards. And
Mark Torres with me.
Mark Torres, yes.
Not Mark Hamill. And,
Mark was with me, Mark Torres, and he gave him the card. And she very graciously emailed all the info.
But the thing is that I had no intention of doing any on-site interviews.
Yeah.
And so when she asked me, I was like, no, I really didn't plan on doing it. I just wanted to have him on the radio show. And Charlie goes, I have my digital recorder right here. I can do interviews right now. And she's like, well. And then she mentioned the panel.
Yeah.
And the way she just kind of downplayed Mark Hamill was very interesting. She goes, we're going to have the creators and this. And, Mark Hamill will be there. Would you like to interview Mark Hamill? And we're like, oh, my God, on the inside.
Yeah.
Well, yes, we would like to interview Mark Hamill.
Yeah, like I was very nonchalant. Would you like to interview Mark Hamill? Yes, I would. You know, like I do this all the time. You know, yes, I would.
Yeah, we know Mark. We go way back. Yeah,
me and Mark.
He said, happy birthday, you know.
Yeah, I'm like that guy who collaborates with everybody. I don't know what his name is. But, I've seen him on Star Wars, so I collaborated with him, you know. anyway.
What was that guy's name? Rob somebody or the... Douchey McDouchebag, that's what we called him.
Huh?
Douchey McDouchebag?
No, it was Jerkenstein.
Oh, Jerky McJerkstein. There you go.
Yeah, but I don't know what you said. You just got us fined by the FCC. That's what you just did.
So, anyway, they were just the nicest people at New Gen. And then...
So we managed to get down to the panel, and unfortunately there was the other press agent who didn't let us both go in, which was kind of not cool. But
yeah, Maria would have let us go in, but this other person didn't. So
like I said, I learned about
Jerkenstein's sister.
I learned about the game because had I had waited for my press contact, she would have let us in, and had we just hanged out for a little while, there was actually space, and I could have been like, hey, you know, there's space. You mind letting us in? But I was like, oh, I gotta get in there right now. Yeah. And, you know, I was all excited and not thinking.
So you better deal, Charlie.
No, actually, I said,
Charlie.
I said, oh, he wanted.
Thanks a lot. See you
work, Charlie.
See you Wednesday.
Thanks for getting me here.
The nice thickities, you know.
See you Wednesday.
Yeah.
See you Wednesday.
Anyway, no, it was me who actually said, you do it. You're the host. Do it. You got the questions.
Charlie, cut the cord.
Cut
the cord.
And actually, I went on and I took some more of those good pictures while you were doing that.
So we got the whole panel. I recorded the whole panel. It will be up on our website and our Facebook soon. Actually, our person that helps us out, Maria, she came down to the our Maria came down to the
thank
convention.
Thank you, Maria.
Helps us out. She's actually working on it right now, so thank you for that. It will be up very shortly. The entire panel will be on there. And the panel itself was very interesting because, you know, the creators, they have their own comic book, and when Mark Hamill comes out, obviously everybody's there, you know, Mark Hamill, because this book is new, so no one knows about it. This is like their first ever panel at all, ever. So unless you saw the book at the booth, you didn't know what was going on. You just knew Mark Hamill was going to be there. And Mark Hamill comes down, and once again, another gracious person. He sits down, and he goes, look, guys, you know, I was just giving them advice. You know, we met up a long time ago, years ago, and we were just talking about, you know, how to get their book off, and, you know, just giving advice. And he says, and they came back, and they did that. So he gave him more advice, and they kept on doing it more and more, and it just grew and grew and grew. And he's like, you know, they did it so much that they were like, hey, you want to be a creative consultant to our book? And he's like, if the pay's right, I'll do it. So... he said, you know, it's not really about me, it's about these guys. So I thought that was very nice of him to
selflessness.
To say that. But of course, you get the line of questions, and you get people. I got a question from Mark Hamill. Does your lightsaber, you know, light up red or? So that's all it was questions for Mark Hamill.
This is why I didn't speak. later in the story, we'll come to me being there, and I'll have nothing to offer because I didn't open my mouth.
Like Herman, our dear Herman, when he learned that we got the interview with Mark, his important question that he wanted me to ask him was to bring two lifesavers and lightsabers and say to him, all right, here we go. To challenge
you. Yeah, I challenge you to
see who wins. Yeah. I said, good.
What would be funny is Mark Hamill just beat the crap out of you with the lightsaber.
That was a frozen lightsaber.
Yeah.
So the panel was over, and it was a great thing. And then they actually kind of joked around with it because they're like, all right, no more questions from Mark Hamill. Let's have a question about our comic and everything. And, you know, the guy's waiting there, and you know he got a question from Mark Hamill. You just know. And it's like, all right, no pressure, just nothing else. Like, I got a question from Mark Hamill. And everybody laughed. And then one guy, the last guy, said, I got a question for the artist. And everyone was like, yay! They all applauded. Yay, artist! So it was a very interesting experience. And then we got to go to the press junket, which was the big deal. And during this time, there was no reception in the panel. So poor Hassan was waiting outside all this time.
Yeah, but I just went and got another press pass.
Yeah,
which actually worked out for a friend of mine. So right.
So I run to Hassan like, hey, you know, since you're here, I'm gonna go to a press junket with Mark Hamill. You want to come? And you're like, yes, I think I would like to come there.
I believe that would be good.
And so, like I said, he was talking to one of the guys on the panel, so that actually just got him to just.
I was speaking to his wife first. I saw his wife. I was talking to her, and then Jeff came over, and it was like, and so we were talking.
So we just kind of slided Hassan in, as big as he is. He doesn't ninja anywhere, but he was like my shadow for this point in time. Just kind of shadow my. Hey, you and him? Yes, I am. All right, come in, sit down. And so, actually, what did Jeff Gomez say? Jeff Gomez says, I can't believe that my butt was 2 feet away from Mark Hamill's butt. That's
terrifying.
Oh, there you go.
And then, Hassan does the exact same thing. He sits no more than 2 feet away from Mark Hamill. So it's Mark Hamill and myself.
I did not geek out. I just sat there like...
He sat there, and I looked at Hassan, and I can see the inner Hassan going, just oozing with this thing. But he kept it cool and did not say a word. He just sat there, and then
Mark
Hamill's talking with his
hand. I'm
not
the interviewer. You were the interviewer. So I wasn't going to add... The only thing I could really ask him... was, and you had heard the panel.
Yes.
So I figured you had panel questions that seemed pertinent. Yes. I would have been like, did you get to keep the lightsaber? Can I see it, please? Yes. So, you know, instead of just doing that, I was like, all right, it's just really cool to be near him. Yeah. It was really cool to hear him speak because he was really a great guy. We interviewed Jeff also. And let this be a lesson to you. If you're in a press junket, and the guy sits down and asks, you know, wait for a question. Be the first one to ask a question.
Yes,
because Mark asked Mark Hamill a question, and Mark Hamill took 20 minutes to
answer
the
that
question.
And one other question was asked.
Yeah.
And that was all the time they had.
And nobody else. And they were obviously there to speak to Mark Hamill.
Yeah, and there was 9 people on this press thing. And that was the weird thing, because when Jeff Gomez, it was Jeff Gomez first, then we had Mark Hamill, then we had the creator.
You asked Jeff 2 questions, actually.
All right, because, you know, Jeff goes, all right, ask your question, but announce yourself. And I'm looking around. I was a little nervous, because I didn't expect this to happen. I'm looking around, they're all just sitting there, I want to see Mark Hamill. So I'm like, I might as well jump in. And I jumped in there, I got my question, got the follow-up question, and I kept on looking to the other guys, like, do you want
to
say something? They had nothing to say. So I'm thinking, all right, I was at the panel, Mark Hamill talks a long time, I'm going to jump in first. And I did, and I got my answer,
Beautiful.
And then, you know, I looked around, because I don't want to, you know, be hogging it. And the freaking other guy, one guy, yeah, I got a question in. And then, you know, they shuffled Mark Hamill off, and then they brought the creators in, and then Hassan's like, see you later, and then, phew!
I kind of got spirited out of there, but... Yeah.
And then the same thing happened, like, I'm talking to these creators, and these other guys are just sitting there like goons.
Yeah.
And then eventually, finally, as we get all the way down to the end, the guy sitting next to me goes, I got a question for you, artist. Yeah, because this guy, pointing at me, has dominated the press conference. I'm like, well,
oh,
you guys...
Really?
Yeah, so he said that.
That was your job.
what are you,
good job.
You guys are just sitting there doing nothing.
Good job.
Know, I'm here to talk to these guys.
Yeah, good job. If they were
a bunch of morons. Everybody is such a whiner these days. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you go there and you do your job or whatever, and someone else, because he wasn't treated like royalty, you're press. You're there to talk to the royalty. You're not there to be treated in a special way. Go in there and get your questions asked.
Really?
You know, the real paparazzi hang out on lawns and bushes and stuff like that to get a word. You know, you're being sat down with your creator.
Right,
say something. Open your mouth. Bunch of losers.
It was a pack of losers. An amazing experience. We had a good time. I can't wait to hear the interview.
We got a
Did you make sure it came out?
I'm told that it sounds very well. It's being downloaded, being worked on. So hooray! It'll be
all
up
you
there,
gotta do
and
is
we're gonna
press
be
record.
Yeah, we're gonna be playing it on the show. We'll actually play portions of it. But we got final thoughts. So Hassan, final thought.
Hope it's not my final thought.
Charlie, final thought.
It was a great time. Thank you to all the Comic-Con people in the weeks to come. Look forward to Rob Longo and the Vixens here, hopefully Marissa Jade, who's a very beautiful top model, and other people that we will have call-ins on. And just Comic-Con people, thank you so much. New Gen, thank you so much.
Like I said, all this stuff is going to be up on our Facebook page, the interviews that we're going to have, the panel, and the Mark Hamill 2 will be there, as long as the Jeff Gomez and the creators of the New Gen. Pictures are up there. You know, I missed a couple of guys. We're going to be scheduling them to be on as we come along. So that's about it for this week. I came from the radio. Join us next week right here on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go online to www.itcamefromradio.com. You can listen to our archives, which will be up in about a week or so. And if you can't wait that long, you can listen to us on places such as Podcast Planet or iTunes as soon as we're done on the air. So we'll see you next week.
Dekadis.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.